What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, and welcome to episode one killer.
One killer.
Hello, and welcome to episode 148 of Killer Hangover. I'm Bettina.
And I'm Beth.
And this is going to be fun.
She was about to say,
and we're recording together.
But I yelled at her before.
She did.
Well, I mean, I didn't yell. I scolded. And I said, Mom, we record every week together.
I meant we're together.
We're together. Recording. This is how we started. I don't know how we got to episode 148. How did this happen? How did we actually make progress here? Wow. Editing is going to be atrocious. Hi.
How was your week, Mom?
My week was good. It was really fast.
Really fast. Tis the season.
I guess.
It's
I
just going to...
And bring in the weather here.
Oh my gosh.
It was like close to 90 2 days ago.
Oh, here we go. She's serious. She really is going to talk about the weather.
I am. Because right now it's like 54 or something. Ugh. Oh, well, Midwest.
Okay, well, moving on.
I've got the true crime.
I have the paranormal and the beverage and honesty. I was not prepared this week. We were preparing for a family trip. I had a lot going on all at the same time, and I was not prepared for a beverage. But good old Tommy, my stepdad, stepped up, took me down to his little wine cellar, showed me options. I was like, what title? What's going to work with what I'm doing? We found something.
All right.
Kind of. Okay. So tonight, Mom, we are drinking a cab. I thought we grabbed a Pinot. This is a cab. A Cabernet. It's called The Veil.
The Veil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I picked it because...
Of the name.
Of the name. Except now that I'm looking at it, it's spelt differently. Okay. Well, this is The Veil. It's from... It's an Australian Cabernet. And I've given a little taste. It's dry.
Okay.
It's very tasty.
Okay.
It's very tasty. All right, Mom, cheers.
Could you hand me my glass?
Nope. That would have been the polite thing to do. I just picked mine up.
Cheers, Mom.
Cheers.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers.
Ay, ay, ay. It's actually more... jammy than cabs usually are, I think.
More fruity?
Jammy.
Jammy.
I'm jamming.
Okay, so this is The Veil, and it's an Australian Cabernet. I just twisted that around. I almost dropped it. It's... I'm sorry. I told you I wasn't prepared. But Veil, we're covering... Colorado.
Oh.
Vail, Colorado.
Okay.
Which is spelled V-A-I-L. This is V-A-L-E. So
it's still Vail, Vail.
Tried. I tried. Okay. Well, the wine is tasty. I believe you said jammy.
Jammy. Mm-hmm. It's a little jammy for my taste. But well, of course, I'll drink it.
While you're jamming, I have some fun little jokes for you.
Okay.
Okay, the first one. What do you call a mound of cats?
I have no idea.
A mountain.
Oh.
How many ski coaches does it take to screw in a light bulb?
One.
One to screw it in and five to say, nice turns.
Where did you get these?
That's horrible. I didn't read that one ahead. I read that one and I read the first one and I read the last one.
Oh, how many in between?
So in between, I was like, oh, the in-betweeners might be pretty good. And clearly they were not. I got this on denvergazette.com.
Okay.
Okay, let's try this one. This is new for me too. How does a snowboarder introduce himself?
I have no idea.
Sorry, bro. I get it. Why are mountains so funny? Or Beth. But why are mountains so funny?
I don't know.
Because they're hilarious. Hill areas. Hill areas. Uh-oh. They're hilarious.
Hilarious.
Okay. This is the last one. Oh, thank God. This is the one I read. I read the top and then I read the bottom. Here's the bottom. What was the highest mountain before Mount Everest was discovered?
I don't know.
Mount Everest.
Oh, because it still existed.
It was still there. Gotcha. Okay. Well, did I make up for the fact that I wasn't prepared with the beverage?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, guys.
I'm still thinking.
I'm sorry. Sorry, bro.
Oh.
This just got real serious.
No, it did. If you're ready for me to start.
Sure.
Have you heard of Suzanne Murphews?
Murphews?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Murphew.
Okay. No, I have not.
Okay. It was a pretty big case that hit in 2020, a missing woman in Colorado.
Okay.
What was really interesting, you know, we tried to bring the victim into the forefront,
mm-hmm.
her date of birth and her where she was born and her parents and, you know, all this other stuff. Nothing out there.
Are you serious?
I mean, I don't even know where her maiden name was. I have no idea. Oh. She's always referred to as her married name. So I have no idea. Not even sure when her birthday was. But when you can start seeing things is when she and Barry met in high school.
Hmm.
And that was
always tied to him.
That was 1988.
Frustrating. And I hate how history just keeps being told time and time again without the victim at the forefront. It just,
yeah, but this one was really weird. Usually we can find something. I mean, even Wikipedia usually has something. But
yeah.
Don't know.
That's sad.
So they both grew up in a small town of Alexandria, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Went to high school together. Barry was older. He was a star baseball player, and she was on the homecoming court. So we were both pretty popular kids. After high school, Barry was drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays. But into his first season, he was injured, and his dream of being a professional baseball player came to an end.
That's sad.
But Suzanne went on to college, university, and got her teaching degree. And Barry became a landscaper.
Okay.
And he did very well at it. In fact, he owned his own landscape company.
Oh.
So he did very well at it. The two were married in 1994. But before they were married, Suzanne discovered that she had cancer.
Oh, gosh.
So Barry, you know, everybody helped her through this and he married her and she beat it. So,
how old was she?
They got married in 94. She was like 21, 22.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That it was so young.
Hodgkin's.
Oh, my gosh.
Lymphoma. Yeah.
Wow.
So, but she beat it. She went through everything and she beat the cancer. They had $2. Well, they got
$2.
They had $2. They had more than $2. They had two daughters, Mallory what? And Macy.
Daughters. Dollars.
Supposedly, after graduating from high school, Mallory chose to attend Colorado University. And Suzanne, who was by this time a stay-at-home mom and had been ever since her first baby was born, since Mallory was born,
she
stopped teaching and she raised her two little daughters. So they were very close.
Yeah.
The children and her were very, very close. She could not stand the idea of Mallory moving because they still lived in Indiana.
Okay.
And she could not stand the idea of not being close to Mallory.
Mm.
So the family actually packed up and moved to Colorado. In 2018, they picked up and moved to Colorado to join Mallory, who was going to university. Macy, so the youngest daughter, was 14 at the time.
Oh, gosh.
And they moved to Salida, Colorado.
Salida.
There they purchased a $1.6 million home on 7 acres.
How are they affording
outside
that?
Outside of the town. He was doing really well. Really? With his landscaping. Yeah.
Wow, good for them.
I think he did some, you know, like wall construction and that kind of stuff along with the landscaping. I guess that's part of it. So, yeah, he was doing very, very well.
Wow.
Now, I have my suspicions that Mallory moved to Colorado to attend college is not the only reason the family moved. Mm. The couple was having marital difficulties. And I think another reason they moved is, you know, new place, new scene. Let's start over and keep this family together and try something new.
Yeah.
What you read is they moved because Mallory went to college. But when you look at their marriage, I'm thinking maybe that had something a little bit to do with it. You know, some couples
keep
buy
it fresh, like
a
get
new
something
car.
New. Yeah.
Some people get pregnant. I mean, it's yeah. like, you know, something new to tie the family back together. Okay, now, but from the outside, looking into this family, they were the perfect family. They lived in a beautiful home. Barry's landscape company was thriving. He had also become a volunteer fireman. The family took several beach vacations every year. Mm. Barry was handsome. Suzanne was beautiful. She had pictures on Facebook showing them smiling and laughing and holding hands and kissing. They had two beautiful, smart daughters. Really the all-American, well-to-do family. But remember, that's looking in from the
outside.
That's
social media. I'm telling you, it's only the good stuff.
Now I'm going to take you to May 2020. There are going to be a lot of dates and times going forward, and I'm going to try to keep it as straight as I can, okay? So okay. It's a bit convoluted, but I'm going to do my best with this timeline.
Okay.
All right. So you got to focus.
Maybe I shouldn't pour
No, go ahead. On Wednesday, May 6th, Suzanne exchanged a text with Barry, telling him she was done with the marriage.
Over a text?
I think so. I think she...
What do you mean, I think so?
No, yes. But I think that they had talked before. This was an ongoing discussion.
Yeah, but over text, they have two daughters together.
And finally, she was just like, okay, I'm done. He, in turn, pleads with her and vaguely suggests suicide.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, these were on the text. Okay?
Awesome.
So, now, vaguely, okay? He said, I love you. You know, you're the light of my life. Just hang on. It'll be over soon. Just this hint of
what
suicide.
Will be over soon?
I guess that
his
was the
life?
Hint of suicide. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Now, she had told her sister and close friend that she was not happy in her marriage and was, in fact, afraid to be alone with Barry. He was very controlling.
Mm.
Now, everyone could kind of see this. Had taken her phone and looked through it, had started verbally abusing her, and had forcibly held her down on the bed, among other things. Now, I think this was more mental and emotional abuse than physical abuse. Holding her down on the bed, yes, that's physical.
Sure.
But I don't think he ever hit her. But
we don't know.
He definitely, definitely used a lot of mental and emotional.
Mind games.
Yes, mind games.
One of those great guys.
From all accounts, Suzanne was very sweet, a very kind person, got along with everybody. But to me, this personality could easily be dominated by an over-controlling husband.
Well, I mean, anybody can. Again, you got two kids, you try to make it work, and then...
I think she was just a very, very kind person, and yeah, you try to make things work. I don't know. Friday, May 8th. Suzanne drove her daughters to Utah, where the two girls were to join a group backpacking and camping.
That sounds horrible. Camping, hiking.
Sounds,
no, thank you.
Sounds great. Suzanne drove back that same day, perhaps taking the long route back. Remember, she did not want to be alone with Barry. I think Barry picked up pizza from the town that night for dinner. Nothing is really more said about Friday night.
Okay.
Now we come to Saturday, May 9th. Now, there's a lot of activity on this day. Around 7 a.m., Barry's phone records have him on one of his work sites in the riverfront area. So he's working several different sites.
Okay.
But this riverfront area is kind of important. He is met there by one of his employees, Morgan. Morgan later told investigators that she was expecting to work all day at the site. She also added that Barry was, quote, acting weird and stressed. Now, is this hindsight?
Yeah, sure. That's so hard in these stories.
And from what I know, she had been fired by Barry later on. So was this a bit, was it hindsight, was it a bit vengeful, or was it, I mean, it was the absolute truth. Again, we have to take all this into account. Shortly before 11, Barry told Morgan that he, quote, had to make the wife happy by biking or hiking with her. Now, Morgan had thought they were going to be at the work site all day long, so this kind of surprised her. He called it a day, and he and Morgan left the work site at 11 o'clock. Phone records show that he had sent a text to Suzanne at 9:30. Quote, want to go on a hike? At 9:52, Suzanne responded, quote, where? No reply. At 10:36, Suzanne asked, quote, want to meet me somewhere to hike? Question mark. 15 minutes later, Barry responds, no, coming home. Barry arrived home at 11:45. So I think he left at 11 at the work site, and it was a ways away. Some reports have him stopping in another site just to check it, and okay, then he went home.
That would make sense time-wise.
Okay, so he also said he to Suzanne that he was coming home to eat soup. I guess she had made some vegetable soup, and he was coming home to eat soup.
Noodle soup.
Vegetable soup.
Sorry, it's a Friends okay, so reference.
He arrived at 11:45, as I said. 5 minutes later, so at 11:50 to 12:50,
sorry,
his phone pinged near the river on the Murphew property. So he didn't even go in, okay?
So he's just standing by the river on his property.
No, he's walking along the river. When he's asked later what he was doing, he answered that he was looking for a turkey that Mallory had shot a while ago.
Okay.
Did that make sense to you?
I don't know. I don't shoot turkeys.
A while ago? It would be rotting by now.
That makes sense. That thought process totally makes sense. I'm sorry. I don't know anything about... I mean, or an animal would have gotten to it, or like, what good is it to find it now?
Exactly. There is then a 50-minute gap, and at 1:38, Barry left the house in his truck. I guess here is where I insert that Suzanne was having a very serious affair with a guy named Jeff Liebler, who she had known in high school.
Oh, shoot.
And they had actually been seeing each other for 2 years. I guess she knew him in high school. They were good friends in high school. I don't know if they dated or not, but she had seen him on Facebook, and she said, hey, how are you doing? And that started. And he was married and had children also. So it just developed over time. Like I said, they'd seen each other for 2 years. They actually met up with each other like 6 or 7 times in different states. I think Indiana, where he lived, Florida, just different states they met up. All right. So,
okay.
Anyway, that does come into play. After Barry left the house at 1:38, Suzanne texted Jeff, quote, guess who's alone again?
Wait, I'm sorry. She texted her boyfriend this. Mm-hmm.
Guess who's alone again? So I guess with that text, that kind of shows me that Barry is really not present. No. Thus, maybe the boyfriend. I don't know. I'm not condoning it. But at 2 p.m., Barry's at a shop getting the blades on his Bobcat replaced. Now, for some weird reason...
What happened to the whole hike and soup situation?
Never happened.
He didn't even go into the house?
No. It's just weird.
They're so disconnected.
When the police asked him where he was, he said there was a mechanical issue on his Bobcat, and okay, he was getting it fixed. He was getting the blades sharpened on his Bobcat. Wait, that's
a
not
Bobcat? An animal, what is this?
It's one of those little machines that can plow things up, or, you know, landscapers use them to It's to dig up earth. You can put different attachments on them. They drill. They do all kinds of things. And he owned this bobcat. And he...
So it's like a Swiss Army knife of cars.
Of machinery. Vehicles. Machinery, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
At 2:03, Suzanne sent a picture to Jeff of herself sunbathing. She's lying on her belly and is looking into the camera. This is the last photo of Suzanne. Mm. So you have a puzzled look. She sent her boyfriend this picture.
No,
but
I know.
It wasn't revealing or anything. It was
no,
just,
no, I'm not, you know, I'm not, okay. I am not judging the situation.
You had a puzzled look.
I'm putting
look.
It all together.
Okay.
I'm still curious. What happened to the whole hiking and soup situation?
Well, don't think too hard because it never happened.
I know. It's.
When sad. Barry was asked about this picture, he said that Suzanne looked drunk. She had drunk eyes. At 2:11, Suzanne messaged Jeff to switch from the LinkedIn app, which they were using to communicate, to the What's Up app. So they kind of changed Facebook, LinkedIn, What's Up.
Sorry, this is me. Facebook, LinkedIn, What's Up? Sorry. Oh, I'm not condoning the cheating, and I'm not disapproving of. I'm not giving my Mm-mm. opinion because Mm-mm. I'm not in that relationship.
Situation.
But this guy comes home; he's avoiding home at all. It's
even though he sent a text and said, "Hey, you want to spend time together?" Basically, hiking or biking.
Yeah, but then he just ran out of time because he's too busy with his bobcat, whatever the heck that is.
At 2:44, Barry returned home. Records show his phone pinging all around the outside of the house. Now, this was really interesting. It was this.
What time was this? 2?
2:44.
When he essentially got there at 11:45.
Oh, he's. But remember, 11:45.
Looking for a turkey.
At 11:50, he was outside by the river looking for a turkey. So, did he even go inside? I don't know.
Gobble, gobble.
So, here he is pinging all over the house. I mean, it's like.
What did boing, you say?
Pinging?
Oh, peeing.
Pinging, not peeing. It's so weird to see the trail around the house. It's just so
weird.
But
why is he doing that?
Was he chasing?
She gave me a pause finger. For those listening, she gave me a shut up finger.
Was he chasing Suzanne?
Chasing her?
Question mark.
Question mark.
Barry said no. He was trying to shoot a chipmunk or chipmunks.
You shoot those?
He added that he hated chipmunks and had already shot 85 of them.
85 chipmunks?
That's what he said.
Are they getting like infested with them? Do you remember that chipmunk that I had when I didn't like have it. Like it wasn't like a pet, but it was dead because my cat got a hold of it and we buried it in the backyard. I was probably like, I don't know, 5. But I remember this like it was yesterday.
Oh.
We made like popsicle sticks for the chipmunk and like he put it. Do you remember that?
Yes.
My cat killed it. Sorry. I think of that. It's traumatic.
But in Colorado, they do have quite a few. I remember
but like,
sitting
at. What harm do they do? I don't, again,
probably
bobcats, turkeys, chipmunks, not my cup of tea. But what?
Nature girl.
Yeah, let's go hiking. What do they like?
I guess they
eat,
farrow. They're,
they
they're,
what?
Farrow in?
Burrow?
Farrow? Burrow? Like
far away? Oh my gosh. Okay. But like, so they ruin your yard?
Yeah. Okay. I guess.
A mole?
No, I think it's more like a groundhog. Prairie dog?
Any moles? We had moles. I know all about moles.
I do too. Okay. So.
Okay.
But. He was chasing this thing around with a tranquilizer gun.
Say what?
Yeah. I mean, seriously? He was going to shoot a little chipmunk with a tranquilizer?
A tranquilizer?
And then what?
Then what are you going to do with it?
Anyway, we know this for sure because a tranquilizer dart cap was found in the dryer along with some sheets.
What?
One dart cap from a box of 4, which still contained 3 darts.
Okay, so how do we know? That doesn't add up to me. We know he was chasing the chipmunk with
a He said he was chasing him with a tranquilizer
Oh, he
gun.
Said it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm-hmm. The way you phrased it was like, we know this because they found it in the dryer with the sheet. And you're like, wait, what?
They found it. And then he's like, oh,
backed
yeah.
up his story.
Oh, yeah. I used that.
Why was it in the dryer with sheets? Why was he washing sheets? When did he have time after all of his bobcat, chipmunk, turkey chasing?
I think Suzanne was washing the sheets.
So
I don't know.
Thing
I don't know
there.
How it got in there. No one knows how it got in there. To this day, no one knows how that got in there. But one dart was missing out of the container of four. Okay.
Okay.
So he must have thought he was going to be a really good shot.
Did you use wires, maybe?
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. I just think they're cute when you're sitting by a stream eating lunch and they
come. I know, they're really cute. And then we found that one dead and we buried it. It was so sad.
All right. May I continue?
You may.
Barry's phone went into airplane mode at 2:47.
Ah, this is so Murdaugh.
Where it stayed until 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff sent a message to Suzanne asking about the weather, but received no response.
Yeah, because he's already killed her and he's texting her.
Looking.
Sicko.
No, Jeff is her boyfriend.
Oh, shoot.
Barry, Jeff. Looking at the truck's record. So this is a high-end truck, really expensive
sure,
truck.
Sure. I mean, the guy has a bobcat.
And so I guess I found it interesting. You can tell when the doors have been opened. You can tell
this fancy truck.
Yeah, it has records. There's like a computer on board. You can tell if it backs up. You can tell.
Well, isn't this like All-Star, OnStar, All-Star, OnStar?
Maybe. I don't know. But
I know
they said
do
it
something
was
similar.
It was on in the computer on the truck. I mean, all this stuff. Okay. I mean, thought that
even
was,
your cars are tracking your whereabouts.
I thought
your
that
phones,
was just really interesting. Okay, so the door was open and closed at 4:44. Barry went to Salida Stove and Spa to get chemicals for their hot tub.
Now, this guy's running
errands
man.
All day long. Suzanne had asked him to get these in a text earlier. Okay. This was a 13-minute drive into town. Now, take a minute to think what he had told Morgan. He had to keep his wife happy by biking or hiking, which...
Well, he didn't do any of that.
Of course, he did nothing.
But he ran errands for her. I'm not defending this guy. I'm just...
Well,
running errands for me make me happy.
Only one, and that's the hot tub place. The other stuff was all
turkey,
him.
Turkey, chipmunk, chasing a chipmunk around your house.
Yeah. Okay, at 9:25, the truck shows that it had reversed 95 feet up the driveway of the house to the garage.
Mm-hmm.
At 10:12, Barry's phone was taken out of airplane mode. So now it's May 10th.
So why did he put it in airplane mode? Did he explain why he did that?
He said he didn't know how it ended up there.
Mm. My 2-year-old puts mine in airplane mode all the time.
They don't have 2-year-olds. All right, now it's May 10th, Mother's Day.
Mm. Oh, gosh.
At 12:53 a.m., an outgoing call is made from Suzanne's phone. Okay. At 3:25 a.m.
Going where?
Nobody has really... that wasn't released.
That wasn't released. Okay.
At 3:25 a.m., the truck stores opened and closed.
What's he doing up that early?
Again, you're right. Then from 3:25...
You don't have a 2-year-old. You can sleep.
Yeah. Oh, baby, you can sleep. Then from 3:25 to 3:49, there are several times the doors are open and closed.
Why? Chipmunks.
4 a.m., Barry contacted his employees at 4 a.m.
Well, I'm sure, I'm not defending this guy, but I'm sure those jobs start really early.
True that, but.
True that.
It's a Sunday. It's Mother's Day.
Not true that.
And they weren't supposed to work that day.
But what was he texting them? Sorry, I cut you off.
Let's meet in Bloomville at the new site and let's get busy.
On a Sunday on Mother's Day?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's sad.
He tells them to head to Bloomfield, 3 hours away, to work on the job site there.
Wow.
This is unexpected and strange. There is a law in Bloomfield that prohibits work on sites to be done on Sunday.
And I'm sure he knew that because he had to get permits and everything like that.
He knew that. Morgan stated, quote, "It sounded like he had had the worst night of his life," end quote. Again, is this hindsight? I don't know.
Yeah.
But if he had done all the stuff that, you know, we think he did, he probably did have the worst night of his life. At 4:22, Suzanne's phone pinged for the last time near Pontius Springs, which is close to Salida.
Why is it out there?
We don't know. 5:37, Barry is heading in the direction of Broomfield in his truck. At 6:30...
Does he pass by where that phone
is? No. It is in the opposite direction.
What?
So,
but we don't see his truck going out that way, right? She's giving me the finger again for those listening.
I'll tell you that.
Not like the middle finger, like the pointer mom finger, like shh finger.
Okay, so Bloomfield is north. It's really close to Denver. Okay, it's 3 hours away from Salida.
And that's where the job was.
And that's where the job was. And that's where he was headed.
And that's where you can see his little magical know-it-all truck heading. So his phone was away from there, but we don't see the truck ever going down that way.
Well, I'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Now it's going to get weird. At 6:38, he texts Suzanne with a happy Mother's Day message. Now it gets, like I said, strange. At 8:10, Barry stopped at a bus stop in Bloomfield. He dumps something into the bus stop dumpster, even though he's only 10 or 15 minutes away from the hotel.
How do we know that? Is there like camera footage of him doing that? Oh, gosh. Okay.
This is dump number one.
Oh, was this body parts?
8:25, Barry parks the truck on the south side of a Holiday Express. There is no surveillance on this side. But it's thought that he dumped something in the dumpster.
Did he know there was no surveillance?
The dumpster was on that south side. Okay, one of the dumpsters. This is dump two. As soon as he does that, he proceeds to move his truck to the front of the hotel.
So he knew.
I'm thinking. 8:30, he checks into the Holiday Inn Express and goes into his room carrying a plastic bag and a duffel bag.
Ugh.
He texts Suzanne again at 8:41.
Oh, gosh. I hate this guy.
9:12, hotel surveillance has him leaving the room. He had changed clothes and is now wearing a black V-neck and hiking boots. He heads to the work site but stops at McDonald's for breakfast.
Sure.
Here's dump number three. Surveillance shows him tossing something in the dumpster and pressing it down with both hands.
Oh, my gosh.
He then drives to a men's warehouse and parks in the parking lot by their dumpster, dump number four.
So did he explain like what these dumps are to police, or he just didn't even acknowledge them?
I'll cover that really shortly here.
Okay, sorry.
Dump number five happens shortly thereafter. I'm not sure of the location on this one. Later, when questioned about the dumps, Barry answers, well, they kind of vary, okay? One time he said he was dumping landscape construction stuff. He didn't remember what he, number two of what he answered said, I don't remember what I dumped and where I dumped it. I have no idea. And number three says he remembers that he tossed away a tranquilizer material.
What?
And that's the only thing he remembers.
What?
So from the tranquilizer.
From the chipmunk.
From the chipmunk incident. Chipmunk incident.
The chipmunk.
Uh-huh. Why didn't he toss that with the other stuff? It's small.
Mm, poor Alvin.
Okay.
Alvin the chipmunk.
I know. I got it. All of this doesn't make any sense. Why would he just throw that away at home? I mean, really? Or with the other stuff he tossed?
He's cleaning out his truck as he goes.
I mean, really? He was just shooting chipmunks. That isn't against the law. Why is he thinking that he has to throw it away 3 hours away?
And like, why was it in his truck?
Because he thought he had to toss it 3 hours away. He goes back to the hotel, changes into a gray t-shirt, and heads to the work site, where he worked for 11 to 15 minutes.
And he made those people get out of bed and drive all the way out there and told them get to work. And then he's like, I'm here for 10 minutes. See ya. I guess you can do that with the boss.
But they weren't there at the work site yet.
Okay, but still. Yeah.
At 11:20.
I bet you they worked longer than 10, 15 minutes. I'm sorry, 10 and 11 minutes.
At 11:20, he called Suzanne. Mm-hmm, when he got no answer, he called his daughter Mallory, telling her he could not get a hold of Suzanne.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Now, Barry is back at the hotel by 12:27. Hotel surveillance shows him carrying two bags to the dumpster.
Nope.
Dump number 6. In one bag, you can see a camouflage coat and a tree or shrub container.
What is a shrub tree container?
So I'm thinking it's landscaping stuff. So maybe one of those plastic things that trees come in when
No, I don't know, but okay. There's a lot in this episode I've been educated on.
Oh boy. Barry's in his room from 12:42 to 5:55.
Wow.
Around 3, Morgan and another employee, now this is another Jeff, so don't get confused.
Oh no.
Come to the room. Later they tell police that the room smelled heavily of chlorine and there were wet towels on the bathroom floor.
Well, he could have gone for a swim.
No. Why not? 2020.
I don't get it.
COVID. All the pools were closed.
Good old 2020.
On one of the shows I watched, I think it was Dateline, they did suggest that his room was right above the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the chlorine, made sense to me. The chlorine was wafting up from the pool.
There's a lot of hotels where the rooms smell like chlorine.
But again, was the pool filled with water?
Sure it was. We didn't know how long this whole COVID lockdown thing
This was in the very beginning.
Well, I'm surprised the hotel even let him stay there then.
It's May. That's true. How many closed down? I don't know. But the pool was not.
We're overthinking this too.
The pool was not open.
Open or open?
I don't know whether there's water in the pool or not. But okay. The pool was not accessible. Okay.
So he couldn't have gone swimming.
No.
His room didn't smell because he was swimming.
All right. The two employees saw tools Barry had brought for the job in Bloomfield, but none of them were the right tools for the job.
So it's like he just threw stuff in there.
One could say he was flustered about his missing wife, but he did not even know she was missing until a neighbor called him around 5:55.
Yeah, he only, quote unquote, knew he couldn't get a hold of her.
Yeah. Barry rushes back to Salida and arrives at 8:45 at the site, where Suzanne's bike was found. Okay. So he must have been in contact with the sheriff or somebody who told them, we're right here at this mile marker and we just found her bicycle. They had found it over a cliff on the side of the road. And it was tangled up in some shrubbery. One of the suggestions, and this was one that Barry seemed to be kind of acknowledging, is that a mountain lion had attacked her.
Oh my gosh, full circle.
So, he talks about his bobcat all the time. And now we've got this
bobcat.
Now we've got this mountain lion. After they got down there, they said, no, there's no signs of a struggle and there's no signs of a blood at all. And you would have seen blood.
So they found her body?
No.
They just found the
bicycle.
Because I'm trying.
And it was pretty.
They obviously have checked what he dumped. So I'm just trying to figure all this out.
It was pretty. Well, they haven't checked what he dumped.
Not yet. I know.
It was in pretty good condition.
The bike?
So it had not been hit by a car or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bike was in pretty good condition.
So it was literally probably just thrown.
The only thing there was the bike.
Would this have been on his path to his little job site?
No. This is closer to where her phone pinged, going south.
So do they have another vehicle that doesn't ping everything he does?
We have Suzanne's vehicle.
Right.
Which is still at home
in
the garage. Now, what's interesting, it's Suzanne went on a bike ride. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of a beginner in this trail riding type stuff. But she loved to do it. But mostly she would drive to a trailhead and then take the bike out.
Not like on a main road.
Yeah. Mostly she would drive to a trailhead. Obviously she didn't do that this time, supposedly. Question is, she had left her sunglasses and her water pack that she always puts on her back in the car, which is still at home.
Hmm.
Why didn't she have those with her?
Yeah, that's odd.
Okay. Okay. Nobody had she been abducted. Again, there was no sign of struggle in the area. And that's when I questioned, had she even ridden her bike? Because the sunglasses and the water pack were in the car. Barry makes a video that he posts on Facebook. It has nothing to do with the police. Police did not ask him to do this. He posted this on Facebook. He's crying and pleading for the return of his beloved wife. He offers a $100,000 reward. And then a family friend added to that, making it $200,000.
Wow.
5 days later, Suzanne's baby blue helmet was found a mile from where her bike was located.
Mm-mm.
The helmet was in perfect condition and there was no blood.
Yes, not adding up.
So it looked like the helmet had been just tossed out of a window. Barry was arrested a year later for the murder of his wife, Suzanne. He was
took a whole year.
Remember, they don't have a body.
Oh,
and this, they're just putting little pieces together at this point. He was charged with first degree murder, as well as charges of tampering with a deceased human body, tampering with physical evidence, possession of a dangerous weapon, and attempting to influence a public servant. I guess there was something about him trying to bribe or something that he did with the local sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there was a problem. The biggest problem for the prosecution was that there was no body. They suggested that Barry found out about the affair Susan was having. On top of that, she had asked for a divorce and he lost it, killing his wife using a tranquilizer dart to subdue her.
Gosh darn it.
So maybe it was her that he was chasing.
Have they seen the footage yet of him dumping all this stuff?
Within that year, yeah.
So did they go and search the bags?
They never revealed what was in those bags.
What? So you just... What? I thought you were going to tell me, Mom, this is an unknown story? Like, we don't have any answers in this?
Just a minute.
Oh.
The body was not in the bag, just to tell you that. I know that for sure.
Okay.
All right. Now I lost my place.
Sorry. My fault.
The defense said no. The couple, according to Barry, were happily married, and he had no idea about the affair until he was told about it by investigators.
Bullshit.
To add to his defense, investigators, this is weird. Investigators
as weird
found.
As the chipmunk story.
Weirder. Investigators found DNA on the outside glove box in Suzanne's car.
Outside glove box?
Outside of the glove box. I'm sorry.
There's a glove box outside the car. You're really teaching me things.
This DNA belonged to an unknown male.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Through a partial match, the DNA was the same found in sexual assaults in Chicago, Phoenix, and Tempe, Arizona.
Did this guy hire a hitman?
I will tell you right now, we don't know about the DNA. There is no
because
no
everything
answers.
Is driven away from where he drove, and there's this random DNA. Did he hire a hitman?
No.
He's got the money.
His truck did show that he drove by where the helmet was found.
Okay.
Early on.
Sure.
He told police he saw an elk. He thought he saw an elk.
Oh my
and
God.
He was,
this man and all of his animals.
And he was
Stop
tracking.
Using the animals.
And he
an
was
excuse.
Tracking it down. He was
this
a big
guy.
Hunter. His excuses, I thought, were just like, wow.
Leave the poor innocent creatures alone. Stop using them as your alibi.
In April 2022, the case was dismissed without prejudice, meaning charges could still be pursued against Murphew in the future. Barry is now a free man. He filed a $15 million lawsuit against county officials accusing them of violating his constitutional rights. While searching for a missing 55-year-old woman named Edna Quintana.
Wait, you're throwing a whole new wrench.
I am.
Okay.
Now, this woman's been missing since May 3rd of this year, 2023.
Okay.
All right. So they've been searching for this woman who, she had a medical condition and she was seen just walking down the road. Mm. Okay. And has not been seen since. Investigators, quite by accident, found the remains of Suzanne Murphew on September 22nd. Her remains were found in the Moffitt area, about 40 miles south of her house in Salida. The bones were found in a remote field filled with grasses and brush. It looked like she had been buried in a shallow grave before animals scattered her bones.
She's been buried.
And the only
when would he have had time to do that, though? How? How would he have gone out there?
Remember his... Okay, if... We don't know if he did this, but if he did, his phone was off on airplane mode.
I forgot about the airplane mode.
And then could he have driven her car instead of the
truck?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm assuming that...
I mean, I'm just... If he had done it, we don't...
But does her car ping as much as his does with all the opening and closing and...
She had a
box
range,
on the outside.
She had a Range Rover, I believe. I don't know. All right. Hmm. Okay. Here's kind of a creepy note. 5 people have either disappeared or been found dead in this same area that she was found at.
5? 5.
Edna Quintana and Crystal.
Edna has been found?
Reisinger.
Gosh darn it.
These are the 2 people who are missing from this area. And investigators are still searching for them. Then the remains of Suzanne. An unidentified man whose remains were found on July 26th, and another unidentified person whose remains were found on October 6th or 7th.
Oh my God.
All of 2023. Locals call this area, quote, the Boneyard.
Ooh, oh, I just got chills. So this guy's stories do sound crazy. They do have, or are you done?
I've got just a little bit more.
Okay, well, I was going to spout my opinion really fast because, you know, I'm really good at that. His stories are bizarre and their marriage was not the best. But could there potentially be some kind of like a serial killer? That's
what defense is kind of pushing towards, that it was this guy. But
be honest, he's innocent until proven guilty.
Yes.
He's not been proven guilty.
Yes.
We can sit here and have all of these crazy ideas. I mean...
That's why I'm stipulating if he did this.
Right.
If he did this.
Right. I understand. Fascinating. All right. Go ahead and finish your episode here. Sorry.
It'll be difficult to determine what or how killed Suzanne because her bones were scattered.
It's just bones. Yeah.
And, you know. But the
animals, I'm sure, have gotten to her.
Animals have.
Everything.
Well, that's
oh
what
gosh.
Scattered her bones.
Poor girls.
But they are definitely, I mean, they're doing everything they can to look into this.
Are the daughters supporting their dad?
Yes,
100%. They are. Okay.
100%. Does finding the remains 40 miles south of Salida help Barry's defense since he drove north?
Well, sure.
On Sunday, then again, there was the gap in time when his phone was on airplane mode.
But, okay, I'm not critiquing your research skills, but how often did his phone go into airplane mode on accident throughout his years? Like how often did he have weird morning early hours? You know what I mean?
He usually left the house around 5 if he had a work site to go
right,
to.
Right, but his hours were just so bizarre of like texting people at like 4 in the morning and all this kind of
that
stuff.
That morning was very
pinging
off.
Pinging his truck backing up at like 3 or whatever it was. What if we looked at 3 weeks earlier? Like what if he was still doing the same thing? Chipmunks? We don't know.
We
don't know what's been put out there is what I'm saying.
I don't know if he usually put his phone on airplane mode.
And chased chipmunks.
Some of that, and I didn't mention the other times it was on airplane mode, but some of it was like maybe there was no service.
Sure.
And so, you know.
We don't know.
Okay, question. I don't know about this. If your phone is on airplane mode.
Uh-huh.
Do you know if there's service or not? Or when you come back into a service area, does your phone show that there's a service area if it's on airplane mode.
No. It's just technically
dead.
It's not pinging anywhere. There's no data.
It's dead.
Your data's turned off.
So I don't know.
When is his trial? I'm very curious now.
He doesn't have one.
He doesn't have one yet?
Not right now, because
he
hasn't
in jail?
No, he's free.
He's free.
Remember, they let him go.
Yep, they did. I'm paying attention.
Good Lord. The other question is, how did the DNA from the unknown male get into Suzanne's car?
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, yes, she has been found and has given the family some closure. I mean, it hit the girls really hard because they were still
hoping
that she was still alive.
Oh, my heart.
There's still so many questions. Mm-hmm. Finding her bones almost added even more questions to this whole situation.
Yeah.
But this is
and in an area like that.
This is a very big case.
Can they tell how long the bones were out there for? Or does that even matter, I guess?
Probably doesn't matter because she went missing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, pretty much she was killed the day before Mother's Day.
Mm. Shoot.
Just to add kind of in that her cancer had...
While we're down.
Her cancer had come back.
Oh my gosh.
And she, now from one, one one mm-hmm. site that I read from, it said that her last treatment was on October 1st, 2019. And then she didn't have any more treatments after that. Another site that I researched said that she had an upcoming cancer appointment, which could have just been a follow-up on that Monday after Mother's Day. Mm. And I guess Jeff had tried to call her again, her boyfriend, to ask how the meeting, appointment went. Ooh, I'm losing my words. But yeah, so she basically beat cancer twice and was killed somehow.
Somehow.
By someone.
Wow. Wow.
Now, you know, I mean, I don't know what Barry was dumping, but he's, you know, it could very well have been just landscape stuff.
And that and was he my was point too before, too. Cheap we, to, what does every week look like to him? Is he dumping stuff regularly where he doesn't know what he dumped that day? I don't know.
He does.
His car that dirty that you're dumping so much stuff that you don't know.
He does dump stuff. I don't know if he's too cheap to get his own dump at his work sites, but he has been known to dump stuff in dumpsters.
So it's
very possible. But, okay, does he change shirts all the time? Because the man changed 4 times.
See, we don't know.
We don't know his personality. We don't know what he normally does.
We don't know what's outside of what's being reported. And it's like that. I'm not standing up for him. I'm not critiquing him. That's neither here or there. But whatever is reported by the media is what people take as fact all the time. But there's so much more to the story.
I mean,
does every week look like? What does every day look like?
Wet towels on the floor. Well, maybe he's just a
messy guy
who leaves his towels on the floor because his wife picks them up for him.
And clearly she,
So, you know, those wet towels on the bathroom floor, I to me, they didn't mean anything. The smell of chlorine, maybe it did waft up from the pool. I don't know. You know, nobody says was the pool full of water or not. You know, nobody said anything about that. So it's like you can literally tear this case apart.
Yeah.
On both sides. You can tear it apart. It's weird.
And I'm not victim blaming, but she's checked out of their marriage by having a boyfriend. He's checked out clearly because he said he was going on a hike and like avoided home at all. So they're just both checked out.
He has, like in June or early July, he was seen with another woman already after she died in May.
They had been checked out from each other, though, for a long time.
So
yes, you can say that he moved on very quickly, but...
Now, I think she suspected him of having a girlfriend.
So they were both doing that.
Okay, so I'm not, like, putting this, but a lot of women have said that he's really creepy. I mean, he'll like this one woman in the gym, he would follow her around. He would just say these inappropriate things and just stare at her whole body. She was a masseuse, and she worked out of the gym, and he came up to her and said, I really want to make an appointment with you. Ooh. And she said, go through your wife. She knows because she was Suzanne's masseuse. And she said, go through your wife.
Oh, wow. But
he had dating sites on that he tried to delete. Of course, they can pull all that stuff up. I mean, that's just.
You can't delete that.
So, yeah, dating sites. One of them was called, oh, gosh, I forgot what it was called. But it was basically, life is short. Why not have an affair? That's their saying.
She's checked out, too. She had a boyfriend for a long time.
That's why she checked out, though. This guy was, I mean, if these things that are being reported about him are real, he was creepy.
But like, Mom, what if they're not real?
What if they're not real? That's right. But one of the sites was something that he had a monkey app. Have you heard of that?
No.
It was basically.
What is up with all the animals in this episode?
It's basically an app made for kids.
What?
It's taken off now because too many old men were getting on it to hook up with young girls.
Ew, I just got heebie-jeebies. Okay.
And he did have that on his phone.
Can we be done with true crime now?
Just saying, he had some weird tendencies.
Chipmunks, monkeys, bobcats.
Mountain lions,
turkeys. Can we be done with true crime now?
That's all I have.
Well,
I have more really gross stuff, but I'm not going to talk about it.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, she's a victim, and it's horrible. And I hate that there's not an answer. Your cat just scared the crap out of me just now. I don't like unanswered cases like this.
And I don't know if there'll ever be answers.
There needs to be.
That's the thing. I don't know if there'll ever be an answer
for her.
There needs
to be.
For her, justice for Suzanne,
justice
definitely.
Justice for Suzanne, for sure. Her daughters deserve that. She deserves that.
And if there is some lunatic serial killer or sexual assault person or whatever running around, he needs to be found and caught.
Absolutely. That's terrible that there had been so many bodies found in that one location. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. Okay. Can we be done now?
We can be done now.
Gold mines. We've covered a few of them. Your dog is lying on me. What is happening right now? These dogs, I swear to God. I think your dog peed on my dog's head. Hold on. Blake's head's all wet. Like, for real. I don't know if it's drool. Can we go rub on each other somewhere else? Obi, like, you're on me. Gold mines. We've covered a few of them. They're all so super. Wow. That's no make no sense.
Oh, dear.
They're all so super haunted. But why? First off, actually, did you recently hear about that gold? What's happening with your eyes?
I don't know. They itch. Okay.
That coal mine cave in recently?
I don't think so.
Everyone made it out. Everybody survived. It was just a minor inconvenience. A minor inconvenience?
Was that the joke? Oh, dear.
Okay. Okay, well, first off, so there's so many accidents and deaths that happen in a mine. It's a gruesome job. That's not even the word I'm trying to... It's not cruel... It's a hard job. I'm sorry. Your wind chimes out there are so loud. It's distracting. Do you need to like go itch your eyeballs or something?
No.
Okay.
I'm hoping this is going to be over sometime.
What are some ways you think people used to die in the mines? There are more than you think.
Falling?
Okay. That's not on my list.
Suffocating.
Yep.
gases.
What?
Gases. You know, things that kill the canaries.
Mm-hmm. Collapse. Fire. explosions.
Yeah.
Caves, all that. Cave-ins. Equipment crushing or running people over. Black lung. When inhaling all the coal dust. Limited training. There are records that show that there were kids as young as 5 working in coal mines. Oh my gosh. Coal mines, gold mines, all the mines. Make a buck, send a kid in, apparently. Long shifts, so they're just dying of exhaustion. Drowning, they would run water down to put out fires. Oh, yes, of course. And people wouldn't be able to make, men wouldn't be able to make it up in time, so they would end up drowning. A lot of these instances, if not all of them, were very sudden. And we've talked about that before. When there's a sudden death, we feel like we've felt like then that's why spirits linger, is because they were taken so soon.
Or maybe they don't know they're dead. They don't realize. Dead.
Yeah, exactly. Some were buried alive in, like I said, drowning or being crushed in. Their bodies were never found. So they're lost souls, essentially lost souls. To many cultures, back in the day, mining was actually a spiritual experience. The resources and the minerals that were born from the earth, it was beloved and treasured. They would actually pour their hunts' blood on like crystals that they found to like honor the earth. There's a lot of cultures that would do that. And then it became commercialized like everything else today. So maybe this is the earth's karma. I don't know. We could sit here and chat mining forever.
Can we? I don't know anything about it.
Let's just throw a bobcat in here and we could really have a conversation. Okay. Do they use bobcats in mines though? Now that I'm thinking about this.
I would doubt it.
Animalistic, it's more of a vehicle you described. Okay. So I have narrowed this down to 2 mines in Colorado. The first being Cripple Creek. This area opened in 1890 to 1910 and it became the world's greatest gold camp. Quote, world's greatest gold camp. More gold was pulled from Cripple Creek than all of Alaska and California's gold rushes combined.
Wow. I know. Ghost Adventures was at Crippled Creek. That's why that name sounds so familiar.
Yes.
Okay.
More than 22,400,000 ounces of gold was extracted from more than 500 mines in the Cripple Creek and Victor area.
That's a lot, right?
That's a lot. Yes, Mom, that's a lot. That's amounted to $11.2 billion in gold.
Holy smokes. That is a lot then.
The whole area is spotted with ghost towns from days when the mines were a-workin'. And yes, I have a-workin' in my notes. Cripple Creek, the town, is super haunted. From the jail museum, where laughter is heard from the old solitary confinement cell. The Imperial Hotel, haunted by George Long and his daughter, Alice.
George!
This story is sad, if it's true. But it's a weird full circle kind of story for the podcast. Because Alice was said to have some mental disabilities. And because of these disabilities, George confined her to the apartment next to the hotel where he worked. And one day, Alice hit George, supposedly, over the head with a skillet. And here's where it comes full circle. Because he died falling down the stairs.
Oh, George.
Where I think it was episode 2, 3. Well, we talk about Georges a lot in this podcast. There's always a ghost named George. But I don't remember which episode it was where we talked about tripping up the stairs.
Early on.
So here's a George and he died falling down the stairs. Supposedly. Colorado Grand Casino, slot machines are heard, and then there's a ghost named Maggie. They smell rose perfume, they hear high heels walking, and they're singing and dancing heard. And this is in the Colorado Grand Casino. There's also Buffalo Billy's Casino. This was once the Turf Club.
What does that mean?
It was a men's club during, thank you for asking. It was a men's club during mining days. Since those days, the story goes that a 6-year-old little girl named Lily haunts the place. Why was a 6-year-old little girl in a turf club? I have
don't know.
No idea. But she haunts the place. She's seen on the stairs sitting with a rag doll on her lap.
Mm.
So they say that this is her because apparently little drawings of like letters and numbers and little drawings are found on the top of the stairs, like on the walls, and they will wipe them down and then they reappear.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Several other haunted hotels, casinos, and locations in Cripple Creek. But then you have the mines themselves that are said to be haunted as well. There was like over 500 mines in the area. I mean, there was gold just leaking out of this place, apparently.
Gold is now liquid.
It can be liquid, right? Can't you melt gold?
Liquid gold. You can melt it, but it doesn't melt by itself.
Well, I know it doesn't melt. Listen, I know I don't know about these animals and these huntings, but like I know melt doesn't.
I know my gold.
I know gold doesn't just melt. Okay, I digress. So haunted mines, shouts, loud bangs, phantom carts, knocks of pickaxes hitting the walls of the mines. These are pretty common occurrences.
Oh,
for haunted mines. All this is pretty scary if you're alone in a mine, but imagine.
I'd be scared to death to be alone in a mine anyway.
Okay, but imagine you're down alone in the mine and you hear somebody whisper, Bettina, Bettina, come here.
Where?
You wouldn't answer that with,
where?
You'd be getting the heck out of Dodge.
If I could.
That's true.
I mean, what am I doing down there by myself in the first place?
That's true too. Okay. So now imagine, here's Beth setting the scene again. You're on a tour.
Okay.
And you bump shoulders with an older gentleman while you're down in the mine. He apologizes and you apologize. He gives a nod and a smile and he continues his way and you continue in yours. You look back and the man has vanished.
Was he on another tour?
Just along, you just bumped him. I don't know.
He was going the opposite direction. He's the one that was alone in the mine.
So these are things that occur in the Phoenix gold mine in Idaho Springs, Colorado.
Cool. Okay.
People hear their names whispered. They don't hear Bettina being whispered. They hear their names being whispered. Beth. Come here, Beth. Can you imagine?
No. And if you're alone in a mine by yourself, it's probably dark.
Well,
it's
yeah.
not a tour, so there's no lights.
But these are people that hear the names being whispered even if they're not like alone. They're like with a tour or they're with...
Why do you keep blinking
at me like that?
It's so bad. Okay.
It's because you're a cat. Why do you own a cat if you're allergic to cats?
This is some things that we have to ponder and just not talk about.
Don't know where I am.
Beth.
Okay, there
Beth,
you
go. Come here.
Today, the mine is family owned and it's open for tours. Not just ghost tours, but day tours where you can actually see gold in the veins of the mine in its natural state.
Oh, that's still cool.
Very cool. Like I said, it's family owned. Its website is super cute. I'm linking it in our resources. Go check it out. It has everyone pictured like Grandma Carol and even their family dogs, Gizzy, Jesse, Maggie, and Rosie. The family who owns it is the fourth generation of Colorado gold miners.
Wow.
But you can go panning there. You can still go and see the gold. This is this whole big shebang. Okay. The mine was first established in 1859. This is the Phoenix gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
It operated for over 100 years, producing gold, silver, copper, and lead. It officially closed in 1962 and has been open to the public for tours since 1968. It's located in Idaho Springs in the gorgeous Rocky Mountains. So, being open for over 100 years is a working mine. And as we discussed, the job of a miner is so easy. Sarcasm. But as I mentioned before, an older man is seen and then not seen.
But he's very polite.
Mm. That sounded very intelligent, though. Seen and then not seen. Yeah. An older man vanishes before people's eyes. Is this an old miner trapped down there? I sound like Zach Bagans now.
Is this an old miner trapped down there from a mining accident of some kind? Or is it
a demon?
No.
Sorry.
That's way more Zach. You totally channeled him in that one. But my notes actually say, or is it a murder victim? That's still dark too, like Zach likes. In 1959, there was a double murder.
Oh.
Two men. On a Sunday morning, they drove their wives up to the mines. They left their wives in the car and headed up to the mine opening. Now, this is a fun fact. Fun fact. Interesting fact. When I was doing my research, women were not allowed in mines. They were not even allowed to stand outside of mines. It was supposed to be bad luck. And if it was said that a woman was standing outside of the mine, work would stop for the day. Like, they would just stop working. This job was so hard, and they lost so many people in just crazy accidents. They became so superstitious, though, about anything and everything. Mm-hmm. But if a woman was outside the mine, they were never allowed in the mine. They would stop working because they thought it was a bad omen.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So this story takes place in 1959. So I think that little black, dark omen was gone. I'm hoping.
Maybe.
Didn't think that of women. But they still left their women in the car. So this was during the time the government was in search of uranium, and they were paying people for uranium.
Okay.
So these men were going to go search for uranium, and they left their wives in the car. As the wives were sitting there, this gentleman walked up, and he, you know, kind of bantered with them. They had a nice conversation, smiling, you know, back and forth, little quips. His name was Gillespie. And then he walked away from the car. The women just kept waiting. Their husbands just were not coming back. So they get out and they go look for their husbands, and they find both of their husbands shot. Bullet to the head outside of the mine.
Oh, no.
Gillespie had shot them.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And then had a nice casual conversation.
I totally ruined the story because he even came back. So he chatted with them, left. Came back and chatted with them again. Very nice conversation, and then left, and he had shot them.
Wow.
Twist. But he actually, Gillespie. Ended,
and they didn't hear the gun.
No. He ended his days in an insane asylum.
Gillespie did?
Mm-hmm. But a full apparition of a man is seen regularly, like a full apparition, like a full human being, man, ghost man thing.
Is that the guy who passed me?
Yes.
And went the other way?
Mm-hmm.
But said really nicely, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And we don't know if that's an old miner or if that gentleman is...
Gillespie?
No, one of the murdered victims.
Oh.
I mean, I guess it could be Gillespie.
Could be.
Because he was very polite to the women.
Yeah.
Whose husbands he killed. Okay. Or one of the two people that records report were buried alive in the mine. So records report there were two of them. One of them was a man named Ray Collins. He went by the name Uncle Ray. He was a known warlock.
Oh. Who
actually practiced dark magic. And they never found his body in the mine.
Did he die? We don't know.
We don't know. I'm assuming.
Why do we suppose that he died?
Because they told us that he did. On the Ghost Adventures episode, they heard lots of conversations between unseen men. So they were like walking down the tunnels, and they'd hear men like just having a conversation. They'd turn the corner and there'd be silence. The episode actually was really good. I had mom come and stay with us, and I was like, oh, we have to watch this for an upcoming episode. We watched the wrong episode.
Dang it. Yeah, we did.
We watched, that was Cripple Creek.
It was Cripple Creek, yes. So
I did cover that slightly.
I know. I was excited. I remembered. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. But I'm talking now about the Phoenix, because this one was super, super haunted. Now we're getting to... Oh, they also heard, leading them further into the mines, they kept hearing, follow me. Follow me on the EVP. It says, follow me.
And you can hear that distinctly.
And they're just going deeper and deeper into the mines.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Terrifying. Then they also heard, get out.
That was the demon.
Yeah, of course. It's always a demon that follows Zach around.
Maybe.
Knocking. Lots of knocking was heard. Is this a ghost?
Knocking on what?
Is this the ghost of miners still at work? Or are these Beth's new obsession, Tommyknockers? Do you know what a Tommyknocker is?
No.
I have become obsessed.
I've heard of the term, but no.
Well, probably from Stephen King's novel, which has nothing to do with this.
Oh, maybe that's where I've heard it.
So, wrong. Tommyknockers. Okay. We don't know if they're good or they're bad. They're kind of both. Of course, according to Mr. Baggins, there are these menacing little creatures. But according to a lot of resources in history I read, a lot of miners looked at these Tommyknockers as helpful creatures. In general, miners considered any ghosts or spirits that they came in contact with in the mines as like helping them as good omens. So they were very superstitious, but
it wasn't a negative thing.
No, they never really treated it as negative, but they did have to appease them. And I'll get there. So first, what is a Tommyknocker? They are said to be the Cornish relatives of the Irish leprechaun. Also, the cousin to the Welsh fairy and the Scottish brownie, as well as the goblin. So this is a big extended family.
and they are Tommyknockers.
Relative. Yes. They are described as being no taller than 2 feet tall, long arms, wrinkled skin, white whiskers, and my favorite, overly sized, very large ears. Heads. You know I like a big ear, but they had big heads. And this is where Beth's obsession even kicks up a notch. They're dressed as little miners. They dress themselves as little miners.
Hi-ho.
I'm not hitting you. Why are you flinching? I'm saying yes. Yes, Mom. That's right. The Seven Dwarfs are based on Tommyknockers.
Oh, really? I didn't know their heads were that big.
Well, I mean, they're based on dwarves, helpers in the mines. Mm-hmm. They're called knockers because they knock. I'm actually surprised none of the dogs reacted to that. The moment I hit this, I was like,
"Nobody's looking down on the ground, going."
I regretted it the moment it happened. Okay. Originally, Cornish miners believed that the knockers were beckoning them towards the knocks. So beckoning them towards tin is what they were originally for. Once the mines became family owned and operated and commercialized, like I said, and less training and harder work, now there's more safety concerns now.
Of course.
This is when the knockers changed their role, and it changed to warn the miners of impending doom. So before it was, come over here. There's some tin, and then come over here. There's some more tin, but now it's get out.
I'd hate to be that group right in between. I didn't know what they were saying.
There's knocking. What do I do?
Do I leave or do I stay now?
In the 1860s, the Cornish miners headed to the United States, bringing the knockers with them.
Hey, come on board. We're going to the U.S.
Miners really take these little dudes seriously, though. You joke. Miners take it. Miners, meaning like miners in a mine, not miners, like children, take these little dudes very seriously. As the new Cornish mining immigrants came to the United States, they actually would not start work until it was assured by the mine's owners or management that the knockers were already on duty.
How did they know that?
They would hear knocking.
What if they weren't knocking until somebody came in?
If they weren't knocking, nobody's working.
Well, right. I mean, the mine wasn't being worked, so they wouldn't knock.
Mom, people take this so seriously. Their lives depended on the knockers.
So the owners would just say, oh yeah, I saw him going down there yesterday. Go on down.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's exactly right.
Wow.
1956, the owners of a large mine in California decided to seal the entrance and close the mine. In response, a group of miners circulated a petition demanding the mine owners open the entrance and set the Tommyknockers free.
How do you do that?
So they could find work at other mines. The owners complied. This was in 1956. This is legit.
So what do you do? Whistle for them? What do you do to get them out of your mind?
Whistle while you work. I can't whistle.
How do you get out of the mine?
Someday my friends will come. I had to.
Oh.
Wow. To this day, the owners and workers of the Phoenix Mine believe the Tommyknockers are still there. One worker interviewed on Ghost Adventures says he still hears them down there knocking. And he even smells them cooking bacon down in the mine sometimes. Zach was like, bacon? And the guy was like, they gots to eat breakfast too, don't they?
Well, how do they get their bacon?
Mom?
This is a serious question.
And these are serious workers in the mine.
That have to eat. I realize that. But how do they get bacon?
So actually, miners would, to appease these goblins, creatures, whatever you want to call them, they would throw their last bite of food down the mine for them.
Was it always bacon?
Oh my gosh, get off the bacon train. But it sounds like if an axe goes missing,
Tommyknocker.
Blame the Tommyknockers. If the cave caves in, Tommyknockers. If your lunch gets stolen, it's a Tommyknocker. If you get saved from the cave-in, it's Tommyknockers. It's all, I mean, we just can't take blame for anything. We blame it all on the Tommyknockers.
No responsibility there.
There's actually a brewery in Idaho Springs called Tommyknocker, and their beer looks amazing. I wish I could try it. I tried. There's nowhere near me that sells it.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why I had to go down into your little wine cellar to get wine tonight.
Little is right.
So, Tommyknockers. Cute little goblins dressed as little miners.
Goblins. Cute little goblins.
They're related to the goblins. Some resources said their skin was green.
Mm.
They had really big heads.
Sort of like that guy in the Goonies, but little.
Nothing like that. His head is little. Their head is big.
Not, hey, you guys.
His head was little.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. He had a pinhead. Their head is like balloon head. Like big head, little bodies. He had a pinhead.
I think we have to watch that movie.
Oh, well.
Is that all you got?
That's all I got. People really think they haunt mines. I'm serious.
I was just thinking, God, to me, the most horrific way to die is to be buried alive.
Well, claustrophobia would be horrible. Mm-hmm. Down in a mine, but...
I mean, even to think about it, I start losing my breath and stuff. It's just...
Well...
Horrible.
The earth just closing in on you. And nowadays, I'm sure things are built differently and you've more technology and everything like that. But like, it'd still be, people still mine today. That's still so scary.
I don't think I've ever met a miner.
I have four of them, so.
Miner.
I know. It was a bad joke. Started with a bad joke, ending with a bad joke. Well, Mom. I don't have any wine to cheers. Do you?
No.
Oh, boy. We cannot end on a bad luck. Now you do.
Thank you.
No, Mom. Thank you. This was a great episode. If you'd like resources for this episode, pictures from
website.
This episode, social media, links, all the things, killerhangoverpodcast.com. Mom puts in hard work. Go. Follow us there. See it there. Mom. Recording together is just wow.
I'm going to have a picture of a Tommyknocker.
What?
What? On the website.
Oh my gosh. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're part of the episode.
No, I know. I just didn't make any sense. Okay. Cheers, Mama.
Cheers. I love you, kid.
Drink.